chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm delighted to have Bob Bodine on the show today. Bob is the president and CEO of Eastman & Bodine, an author and a motivational speaker. So welcome to the Something Extra podcast, Bob Bodine. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for making the time.
Lisa, I'm just excited to be with you as well. So this is fantastic. This is going to be an epic time.
It will be. It certainly will be. And you and I were talking, and do you know we connected over 10 years ago, Bob? Over 10 years ago, my good friend and your friend, Andy Rawlings, we were in CEO Forum together. We were in an SLI class, and we had just opened up a Dallas office at the time, Technology Partners had. And he just asked me one day, he goes, Lisa, do you know Bob Bodine? And I said, no, I've not met Bob. He goes, you need to know Bob Bodine because he is Mr. Dallas. You need to meet him. And you were so gracious, Bob. You invited me to your office. I think it was over the Legacy Shops, somewhere off of Legacy. And you invited me into your office. And I walk in and I was like, am I in his office or am I in a sports museum right now? Because you just everywhere I looked, there was sports memorabilia.
Most of that, first, it's I appreciate Andy too. He's not only been a great friend, but a client of mine over the years and all the stuff that he did for Learfield. So I know he's out there doing something, knocking the ball out of the park again. But it's so fun to have an office. Again, your office kind of creates an ambiance and some type of environment that allows people to come in and have fun and really be themselves. And of course, the world of executive recruiting, which I'm in, is interviewing is kind of fake. And so it puts people get all of a sudden scrunched up and they're trying to figure out what they're going to say. So they say exactly the right thing. They're trying to memorize lines. And the answer is, stop it. We're just going to talk, see if this is something. And could I create your dream job for you? And that's really what we try to do. I want to do something for you. Personally, it's not about me, it's about you. And if I err, I'm always erring on the side of my candidates, right? Because if it's not good for them, it's not good for my client. So it's always fun to have people come in, no matter what people who are friends of mine or other than someone like yourself who comes in, and we can just start to, let's elevate dreams.
Yeah.
Who do you need to know? Where do we want to go? What do you want? And when you start to do that, you know, everything starts to skyrocket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're going to dig into that. I mean, it is because that's precisely what you do. You're the CEO of Eastman & Bodine, which is a leading executive search firm for executive sports, college sports. You know, you're married to Cheryl, right? And you have three beautiful grown daughters. I think you've even got some grands now.
I do.
And so we've talked about your daughters and they're all doing amazing things too. But, you know, I read this about you. Somebody had written, Bob, they said, when you walk into Bob's office, you've got enough sports memorabilia to fill up two sports bars. But what you really collect, what Bob Bodine really collects, is friends.
Yeah. And so I mean, most people think when they come in, I've got stacks of footballs that are signed, basketballs, golf balls, tennis balls, hockey sticks, you name it, anything that someone could do. But they're all signed by my friends. And so right. It doesn't matter if I have Troy Aikman or Wayne Gretzky or I've got Joe Namath or something, their signature's going right next to it. And so people look and go, I can't kind of ruin this. And I go, I'm not selling memorabilia. This is my friends. I just want everybody to come in and have fun. And it's so much fun if you're going next to Chrissy Evert or you're going next to somebody that you really like in some sport, whatever that is, and you're signing next to her. And you're putting the number you played in sports, which is what I always make people do, which yeah, I love cool. doing it. People just have a blast.
Yeah, I love it. Well, tell me a little bit. Let's before we dig in more, because we're going to dig in a lot. We're going to dig into your books. We're going to dig into all kinds of things. But I really love for you to tell a story about growing up, because I know, Bob, in reading about you and just knowing your parents were both of your parents, incredibly influential. You know, you've got two books out there. And I would say, like, you know, your second book, I really do believe your mom was the inspiration for that book. But if you would go back a little bit and tell me more about your parents and how you grew up, what'd you like to do as a child? Were you into sports as a child? You know, and then we're going to talk about all kinds of other things.
So you're right. I just grew up thinking always that most people had parents like mine, right? That hugged them, that prayed with them, that encouraged them, that dreamt out loud with them, that, you know, like to always treat you like they wanted to be treated, right? And so they would always encourage. It was an encouraging environment. When we went to dinner, we played a game called Penny Nickel Dime, and it's so much fun. And my dad would bring out a bunch of penny nickels dimes on this, and all the kids would all be around. And he says, okay, so you got sports, you got entertainment, you got family history, you got presidents, you got current news, pick any of them. And then you get a penny, nickel, and dime. And dime, of course, is the hardest. And then he'd go around and then you do it. Now, what I do is I do it with like chips and queso. And so you don't get to have your chip with queso unless you answer the question right. And you got to wait till you go around. And so it's so fun. And all these other kids around us have never seen people enjoy dinner and talking about it. Because first off, you don't know your family history. You don't know your cousins. You don't know mm-hmm. what your grandfather did. One of my grandfathers had a seat on the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange. And Cheryl's dad was in oil and gas. And so we have totally diametric opposites. So when we'd go out to a ranch, we're with cows and bulls and 8,000 acres of things. But when I grew up and born like in Mishawaka, Indiana, where my dad is right there where Notre Dame is. My dad went to Notre Dame, my dad's brother, my other dad's brother. I mean, it's funny now I'm friends with Rudy in the movie Rudy.
Oh, I love Rudy. I love that movie.
I did this funny thing. I just spoke at church this last weekend. So pastors will give me their pulpit. It's just unbelievable. I to an executive recruiter. But I'll give the talk. And I said, and I'm talking about showing up, how important it is to show up for prayer with God, talking, being a normal person. Actually, you get to talk, he gets to talk. And so I was doing it, and I tell this great scene from the movie Rudy that all of a sudden he's 5'0", he's can't get in, he's in a junior college, he's finally sunk, he's sitting in church, and all of a sudden the priest comes over and says, so Rudy, are you like solving the world stuff here? What are you doing? And he says, I can't get this, I can't get this, da 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 da. And he says, have I done everything I can do? Can you help me? And so the priest goes, you know, I know two incontrovertible truths, Rudy. There is a God and I'm not him. And and what's so great about the line is that while I'm doing that speech Saturday before Sunday and I'm writing this, actual Rudy calls me. And I'm thinking, seriously, God, did you just create this? And so he needs me to motivate him and inspire him for a moment. And so I do that. I juice him. I got people who call me for who juice all over the country. And so I spend time. And then I say to him before he finishes that he needs to do a video, a 30-second video for my church. and send it to me from his car and juice them about showing up. And so when I tell them story and then I show the scene from Rudy and I show this, that's my dad in a nutshell. My dad believed we could always go backstage to meet anybody. He was always teaching. Whenever we'd be at dinner, he'd say, we need to talk about this today. If I was going to school and I left in the morning and he wasn't there, he'd write a note and some great sports star, some great quote or great history quote and saying, and he'd write, you know, this is who you are.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. So kids today need to know who they are and whose they are and the path they're called. And so I quickly started to get this understanding. And when you take it spiritually and you look at what an opportunity dads have today, I mean, the Jewish faith does this fantastic thing that they lay hands on their kids every night and they say, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I give you my blessing.
Blessing.
Okay. Oh. And as they walk out the room, they say, you're going to do great, mighty things. Do you know that less than 1% of Jewish men are in prison? Of course. Mm-hmm. They got the blessing. Less than 0.002% of women who got the blessing have it. But if you haven't been told by your dad, and of course, 70% of people today have never had their dad say, I love you. When I go to meetings, it's just like outrageous. And so I always say that because I grew up in a world where people just loved you. And that there was no dream that wasn't big enough. So I grew up, I played every sport. I grew up and I played quarterback and I played tennis and I was captain of my golf team and I was really good at golf. We won like state in football, I mean, in Chicago. And so it was like we grew up and everything was great. But I was 5'11". I wasn't 6'2".
Right.
and so golf looked really good at that time. And so I went to walk on at SMU. And of course, they dropped the team the day I arrive. And then I spent a couple of years in fraternities. Of course, I'm no longer really probably game ready for golf. And they bring back Payne Stewart, one of the greats of golf. And he's a SMU guy. And I become friends with him. And of course, I just cheer him on. And so all throughout my time, I really believe that one of the things that gets you to where is that your kind of parents are always there by your side to kind of lead you in tough times and good times and balance you, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't get too high, you don't get too low. But I would say one of the most overriding things that I always remember, and I do with my wife, and Cheryl and I are going to be married 40 years in September. And
congratulations.
It's just spectacular. And every single time I remember my dad, before he went out to leave, my mom and dad would be praying with him at the door. And so it was just part of who we are, right? And
right.
So I had two brothers and a sister, and they were all great, loved them all, and we had fun. I mean, it was probably harder for them because my dad was a McKinsey guy and was traveling a bunch. But in all of it, my sister was my best friend. She's my CFO today. And so she's been with me as my chief. And of course, I call her boss, right?
Right.
She runs the money.
Good.
And so, you know, I've had my older brother Frank work for me at some point during the time. My brother Bill was an actor. So we had lots of different things everyone was doing.
Yeah, that is so cool, Bob. I there's so much packed in there. Gosh, I don't even know how to unpack it all. But, you know, what I'm going to go away remembering is the blessing and how your dad, you know, always encouraged you. And it always, and I know it does yours too, Bob, it breaks my heart because I know that our story, because I have a similar story. I always say my dad, somebody asked me, I don't know, my dad just passed away last August, but somebody asked me probably a few months ago, what reminds you of your dad? And I said, well, the moon reminds me because he always thought I hung the moon, right. You know, and he did. He thought I hung the moon, but I realized that not everybody has our story. And so that always breaks my heart. You know, we always have a soft spot for children and children that don't have that kind of support. Right. But thank you so much for sharing all that. I love it. But, you know, you did go to SMU, so you didn't go to Notre Dame. You broke the cycle.
It was because my mom was from Norfolk, Virginia. My dad was from New York. Right. Every one of our family members all went in the Midwest. My mom goes, under no circumstances are you not going south or southwest. And so she wanted to end up moving. And of course, that my mom had this all planned out really well. And so it turned out really good. But I went to SMU and just loved it. Yeah, I mean, I knew it first day.
Great, my gosh,
in a small, and you can walk to class, and everyone said hello to you. I mean, I could go on a date in Chicago on my senior year, and the girl wouldn't say hello to me the next day. It was cold. It's a cold place.
Yeah, that's not how I would describe Texas for sure. But you know what? You started after graduating, you started in sales at Carnation, which is now Nestle, one of our clients, by the way, Bob. You know, you sold canned food, you said, to lunch ladies in the school across West Texas. You were really good at it. In fact, you were promoted to brand manager for frozen fries. You call yourself the king of spuds.
Yeah. I mean, I know more about French fries than anybody really wants to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I want you to download that to me, because right now, well, I like fries, but I'm not sure. But, you know, talking about your dad's name was Frank. He founded Eastman and Bodine in Chicago in 1967, became a very successful executive recruiting firm. But you said when you graduated, you never really thought about going to join the firm, because really and truly, it was kind of for more seasoned people.
Right.
We're recruiters, you know?
And I was too young.
Yeah, you were too young, right? And so it had to have been successful CEOs that were recruiting other CEOs or whatnot. You didn't think about it. But then in 1980, so you're a little bit more seasoned by now, your dad opened up the Dallas office, and that's when you decided to join. You know, how was it working with your dad, Bob? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so probably the greatest days of my life. I mean, my dad and I were best friends. He was my partner. He was my boss. I ended up being CEO. I mean, it was just like, I mean, could you, when my dad made me the CEO, I expressed no facial change. And he looked at me and goes, I thought you'd be really excited. And I go, not if you're giving me CEO and quitting. I mean, I don't care about titles. I said, you're my best friend. You can't leave the job. When my dad and I would go out, my dad was kind of like Ronald Reagan. I mean, he carried himself. He had a story. He was smart. He was a Mensa. He could really do it. And then I would bring all this energy and we were unstoppable. I mean, yeah, they would look and go, hey, so I know Frank's going to help you on this. And, you know, if you need it. And my dad would always know three people if I was behind in a search. And so it was really, really good. So working for my dad, when I first started, he said, listen, I want you to write down these three things. This is what our firm stands for. And your success in business is going to stem here. And so I'm thinking McKinsey first is the hardest firm in the country, them and Boston Consulting Group and Bain, those are like impossible to get into. And then number two is he's a Mensa. Okay. So like he could finish a crossword puzzle in 5 minutes. I'm on spit, you know? And so he's just really clever. And so he writes down, he says, ready, number one, make friends. So I go, Then he goes, help your friends in every way possible. And then he said, don't be surprised if you do a lot of business with your friends.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that's the way corporate America sometimes works, is friends and business like are taboo. So, but I found that if I help my friends in every way possible, it kind of goes back to Zig Ziglar, who belonged to my country club. And he said, if you want your dreams to come true, you have to help other people get their dreams. And so, and that's, I mean, my dad was just a giver. You can't, and he just, he always would look at me and say, you can't outgive God. So he says, it's like tithing. He says, you can give 10%, but he says, if you give 20%, it's going to work out better for you.
Yeah.
It comes back overwhelming. The law of reciprocity is impossible to stop. God created laws and they're going to work whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever you are. And that's why, if you're good, people treat you nice. But if you're not so good, they're going to treat you tough.
Yeah. That's all. That is exactly, you know, I wanted you to talk about that, you know, because, I mean, your dad had once told you the rule is everyone that comes in here is treated like a VIP, you know, right. And it's just that human side, you know, Bob, that I feel like, you know, oftentimes gets lost, right? And
100%.
And you know, so, and I know you talk about this a lot, the what versus the who. And, you know, I will say, and I have said this in my own life, maybe when I was young, it was a little bit more about the what can I accomplish? What are my goals? What, you know, da, 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 da. Today, it is about the who can I help? Who can I impact? Right. You know, so, and I know that that is exactly the way, you know, you think.
But I can
well.
Feel that. I can feel that over the podcast watching you, because you have a personal environment that just sends and radiates the fact that you are filled with joy because you sat with God, you understand what it takes to do it, and you believe what you're saying. And no one can steal that from you. And the answer is, and it's so attractive, what do you do with it? Well, you just want to help that person. You want to promote that person. You want to, well, yeah, I want to be way over. You know, tell me what I should do next. And so when people walk into it and then they start to see that that's possible, it's a game changer.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for those words. I appreciate that. But you're right. You know, I mean, my joy and my fuel comes from a higher power. And we're going to talk about that with the two chairs. But, you know, I want to let's get into this a little bit, and then we need to take a quick break and we'll come right back. Because I got a lot of other things I want to talk about, and I want to get into your books. But, you know, you started there and you were doing, I think, real estate and some insurance placements and that kind of stuff. And then you actually went to your dad and you go, you know, you felt like you were running in place, you said, and you went to your dad and said, you know, I think I'm going to quit. And he talked you out of it, but you were starting to, like, in your own mind, you were starting to kind of percolate this idea of what if I married what I love with what I do?
Right.
And that's kind of when you started moving more into the sports and the entertainment area, right, Bob? Tell me about that journey a little bit.
So it's really interesting. So everyone who's listening today has got this call of something they want to do, and they don't know how to bridge it. How would I get over there? And so the very first thing is you have to actually say out loud what it is you've always been dreaming about. And so the more I can get you to dream out loud, the more chance that we have that I can make a list and see who's doing it, how we're going to do it. So I just blurted out to my dad that I want to do sports and entertainment. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, when I do a search for a president, like of a manufacturing company, I got a tour of the plant. But if I did the head of marketing for the NBA, you and I, we get to go to All-Star Weekend. And he just laughed. And he said, does anyone do that? No one had ever done a search in sports, and no one had ever done it in college or the other. It was all done by, you know, I do a Wilson Sporting Goods, you know, manager, you know, you wouldn't be, you know, a head of buying, a head of this. So what's interesting is that, so what's the aspect is that when you're talking about your dream, we're talking about people here that I want to remind them that they do one thing better than anybody in the whole world. And it's our job as your friends, the people who are in your family, to remind you who you are and what you have as those skills. And that we have to kind of guide you there into this stuff. And so I got to get you in and around. And so who you associate with, of course, matters a lot. And so if you don't have people who are encouragers, and you got people who are sarcastic and they're constantly cutting you down, and I talk about a lot of that in my book, is that there's some people, I don't care what you do, they're never going to help you. They're never going to do anything. And some environment that's good learning for a little bit, but you can't stay there. It's because it gets toxic. And so right off the bat, there's destiny around what you're talking about. Okay. There's destiny here. And so what I find is as soon as I say it, things start to shift. And so I had this girl, I'm giving a talk at Cal Riverside. This girl says to me, I finished my talk. I tell you to all the student athletes, if you want to talk about your dream, I'm going to sign your book, and you get a minute and a half to tell me your dream, and I will up your dream about this much in wherever you're going. I will show you and change the trajectory of it in a short minute and a half. And so the AD comes over and he says, okay, so they've been here a long time. You talked for an hour and now it's 7:30 at night and da, da, da. Don't be worried. I said, turn around. They're all in line. They're talking about their dream. So the first girl, I just want to tell you, the first girl gets up and she says, hey, my name's Mary. I said, hey, Mary, what's your dream? Oh, I don't know, Mr. Bodine. I said, sure you do. It's written on your heart. She goes, I don't know. And I said, well, there's 399 people behind you, so you're going to have to tell me. And she blurts it out. Okay. All of a sudden, I up hers. I tell her two things that she should do. She goes home to Chicago. All of a sudden, she sends me a note and says, 2 days later, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you my WHO story. I said, okay. So she comes back and she says, did I ever tell you that my mom, you know, I've always been bothered that my mom plays bridge, like the card game. Why? And she goes, crony. And I'm just thinking, hey, I'm a soccer captain. I'm doing something. And so she wakes up at 11:30 one morning. She sleeps in because she never gets to do that at soccer. She comes down the stairs and they're playing bridge. And Mrs. Robinson, one of her friends, sees her and says, hey, Mary, get in here. Oh, I'm just going to get cereal. No, get in here. What are you going to do now that you graduated? She goes, I don't know, Mrs. Robinson. And she says, sure you do. It's written on your heart. And she goes, do you know Mr. Bodine? And she goes, no, I don't know him. And she goes, what do you want to do? He says, and I am going to tell you now what she said, which everybody should put their ears on. She said, I'd listen to this guy. And he said that if I would declare my dream out loud with, like I did on sports, okay, then there's something magical and spiritual around it with the people you were given in life. So I'm going to say right off the bat, I want to do pharmaceutical sales. Now, when I told Mr. Bodine that, he wanted me to be specific. And I told him that I had already identified six companies in Chicago that were the six biggest. And he knew one of my companies right off the bat. And he had a friend and he's now given him the number. And all of a sudden, that's great. I said it out loud to my uncle who works in the field and he gave me a name. And so the mom goes, you never told me you wanted to do this. She goes, Mom, I'm declaring. And so Mrs. Robinson says, hey, Mary, did you ever meet my bridge partner, Eleanor? She goes, no. And she said, Eleanor, why don't you tell Mary what your husband does? Uh-oh. He's the president and CEO of Abbott Labs. The next day, because women tell their husbands what to do, mm-hmm. she has a meeting, okay? And she said, Mr. Bodine, it went just like you said. When you're around people that love, like moms love each other, he treats me golden. And he says, forget it. Why don't you just come to work for me personally for 6 months, shadow me as CEO, and then I'll put you in any country you want to be, Mary. She looks at me and goes, Mr. Bodine, he just threw out a number that was like $50,000 more than I was ever even thinking of getting. And now I come to realization that the power of who was in my living room. Mm-hmm. And she said, what if I didn't get in line with you? Aha.
Yeah.
What if I didn't decide to tell them what you said? So there's something about saying it by yes. doing it. So most people, they're general. I want to do pharmaceutical sales. Well, I mean, so how does that help me if you didn't tell me you want Abbott Labs and the following five others? And what if you had done the homework and you had the names? This is all specific because if you want to have someone on your show, if you told me, what's the odds? I bet I could bring them for you.
Right? I've got somebody. I've got somebody, Bob. We'll talk about
it. It's coming.
Oh, I'll declare it. I'll declare it.
I said it out loud.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know what? You set me up for a perfect segue. You know what? We do need to take a quick break though. I want to come back and talk about the power of who, and I want to talk about your book. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about two chairs, and I know you've got some recruiting you need to do. So I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Bob Bodine.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend, Bob Bodine. So, Bob, I want to dig into the power of who. And I told you, I've got the book here. You know, I will post a picture of this. You gave this book to me when I first met you. Yeah. And I still have the original copy because you said, Lisa and Greg, you're a moment maker. You got who. God bless you, Bob Bodine. And I've kept it for 10 years. And I love it. And I've given it out to so many people because I believe in this too. I so believe in this too. But, you know, I'm going to set you up and then I want you to talk about this and we'll pull out a few main points here because I really want all of our listeners just to go get the book and dig into it. But you said you had 5,365 names in your database. It took you 6.4 million miles at American Airlines to build that kind of database. But then you did a study who had really touched your life and how many people had really touched your life and given you business, Bob?
87. So when I took like stupid off my forehead and thought to myself, are you kidding me? I was just doing something called networking, which was not working, which was busyness masquerades as effectiveness. It's just you're running and you're on the treadmill and you're going. And all of a sudden you wake up one day in your hotel room and your kids are at home and they're on doing, you know, recitals and things. And you're not there doing something that is going to give you no help. What if we could do something? And I told you, we could take your Rolodex from here and move it right into here. And I could increase your productivity double. Because I so increased my productivity off of my 87%, of my 87 people, that I just started to go deep rather than wide. I actually had lunches with them. You can't have lunches with 5,365 people. You can't do any of that. What you're doing is you're in for the deal and not for the relationship. And everybody knows that game. It's embarrassing. You look foolish. What if you started out and you already know everyone you need to know, okay, to get anything you need done. So this is what this book's about. I can open up a chasm. This is such an opening for your success because you're spending time with the wrong who. I would have called my book The Power of Friendship, but I had all these people that were not friends. And so I shifted to my actual friends, which we've been taught our whole lives that friends and business are taboo. And if you and I are friends, I have to disclose it as evil instead of greatness. And so let me get this correct. I'm supposed to work with people I don't know and don't trust? No. And the answer is I shifted and went all in on my friends and my business quadrupled. Mm-hmm. And so were yours. And the reason is that people like doing business with people they trust. Right. So there's three things that people think about when you walk in the room. If I tell you the three things, it's like me giving you the test answer before the test. The first thing is, do I know you? So if you know their best friend, you have an 87% chance of getting the deal or the job. And I haven't even talked about your background. Why? Because your friend is a real friend, not somebody that's their really close friend. They're not going to tell about someone they don't think is right for the job or isn't going to be a person you can trust in a deal. Number two. Do I like you? These are really complex. Do I know you? Do I like you? I mean, come on. If I just talk about the fact of my friend who introduced us, Andy Rawlings, then right off the bat, you like me because you like Andy. And now we're at 94%. Well, we know this is all true because references, endorsements, and testimonials are your greatest allies in life. Okay? And also, so listen, if talent was the reason everyone got jobs, we wouldn't have Congress and Senate. These people are terrible. So do I know you? Do I like you? And the next one is, do you understand my needs? And wouldn't it be great that a friend introduces you? Now, why? You don't have to toot your own horn. I did. They're, right. You're not going to have, when I introduce you to someone to go on your podcast, to like work them to get it on. They're going to do it because I told them to. Mm-hmm. And that's what friends do. Friends help you now. Acquaintances wish you well. Friends know the song in your heart, can sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. Friends are secret keepers. Friends will do things that mere acquaintances would never do. And we've been told the wrong thing. So the world has told us, we're in the Matrix, right? And so, you know, we have to disconnect. I mean, this is, if you haven't seen The Matrix, you need to rewatch it and disconnect from the world. The top 1% of the country does something different than everybody else. That would be good to know. Yeah, they do everything with their friends and family. And you know what they told us to do? Get in line and online. I ain't doing that. Yeah.
Right.
And so what they do is they got us busy. Today, in the business workplace, 18% of corporations have a program that promotes friendship. 18, that means 82% don't. So hold it a second. Why wouldn't you have friends? I mean, so is there something wrong? Yeah, like get back to your cubicle. Get hard, you're talking too much. So they must think that this is wrong and they want to do it because especially after the pandemic, your energy has been killed. You were smashed. I mean, if right. I took all the things that what a pandemic did to you and I took all the things that would do if I put you in a torture camp, they're actually the same. I mean, it's just crazy. So if you have one friend in your company, one true friend, would it surprise you that you're 40% more productive? So hold it a second. You're not going to be sick. You're going to all of a sudden be more productive. You want to help other people. You're over helping other people with their boxes. You're helping everything. And all of a sudden there's a collegial environment. Everyone's having fun and the buzz level goes up. And so I tell companies all the time, the reason you want to have me come give your talk is that I can increase your productivity 40% and you're still trying to do it just with like ping pong tables. I mean, you know, whatever it is you're doing isn't helping someone because they don't have one friend. The number one reason a kid leaves college is because they don't have one friend. One friend has always been the secret.
One friend. Yeah.
That's it. Between them. So the greatest thing between the reasons, listen, 69% of the country believe that a bad day at the beach is better than a good day at work. 80% of the country are not using their number one talent. So we're spending billions of dollars training people in jobs they don't want to do. And 62% of the country, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever you are getting divorced. Why? Because you're coming home, joining Saturday Night Live whiner family, and you're constantly complaining to your wife, who's finally stopped and said, enough, stop it. You're wearing me out. And the answer is why? Because we just don't have anywhere to dispel this, and we're working in the wrong place with the wrong people. And here's all along, you're supposed to be doing a job you love, with people you love, in a place you love, where your family loves it, and you can do it for the right reasons. Most people, they love the job. They hate the people, love the people, hate the job, love the people, love the job, hate the city. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. But just imagine if you can get all of those things synergistic, you know, that stat just really astounds me, you know, 40% more productive with just one friend. What can happen with just one friend, one connection, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, I was thinking about that, Bob, and I was thinking, you know, just as employers, I mean, we all try to do team building. I mean, that's why, you know, even like working in teams, you know, collaborating with teams rather than solo contributors, I think is a good thing because it gives you the opportunity to win together and to build together. But, you know, as organizations, what I'm going to say is we just need to be very intentional with this and fostering, you know, friendship. Exactly.
Friendship. Okay, I mean, if you had three friends, you have a 96% chance of having a satisfying life, not a job. Okay.
Yeah.
So listen, the number one thing you need to do in your company is stop. Okay. And you need to refocus your efforts on the people you got because you don't want to lose them. And the reason you want to do that is because they so love it there. They so love you. And so there's 180 words in the Greek language for love. We've got one. So I love my wife of almost 40 years. I love tacos, so it's really confusing. And so my point is my wife would not be bothered if I said, oh, my gosh, I was with Lisa Nichols and I just love her. And she doesn't think, oh, my. No. 180 words in the lane and they're all better than like.
Right.
So listen, here's the bottom line. You can never be successful at what you like. So if I have somebody in my firm, it's about passion. It's about excitement. And so people aren't doing that enough because they're not being celebrated. They're being tolerated.
Mm.
And that's what a culture needs to shift.
That is so good. So good, Bob. Well, listen, I'm not going to get through everything I want to talk about here, but I want our listeners, I'm just going to tell you, go get The Power of Who. Read it, digest it. You're going to want to buy it for other people. I was looking at chapter 4. There's several chapters here, but like chapter 4, you know, where in you're an executive recruiter, right? And so you know, you say people come in and they're not specific enough with what they want. Like you said it at the very beginning. It's like, well, I want to be in sports. Well, do you want to be a referee? Do you want to be a coach? Where do you want to be? You know, and you said most people never get what they want for three simple reasons. They don't ask for it. No one can help you if you don't know what you want. When they do ask, they ask the wrong people, you know, so don't ask the wrong people. Make sure you're asking your who, you know, your 100 who. When they do ask for help, they are too vague, you know, and so really trying to get more specific. So that's just one, you know, one little piece of wisdom nugget in the book. I mean,
and the whole book's filled with this. So the whole book's simple. It's simple and yet so profound. Of course, anytime you talk about something so simple and we're thinking like, hey, well, I'm 50. I don't know if I can get my job. Sure you are. You're never late. You're never too old. You're never too young. You're right on track. You didn't. It's, oh, I'm too young. Da, da, da. No, you aren't. You're not too young. You're, you know, no one can despise your youth. And the answer is because you do something that no one else does. And we just have to do it. We have to put our arm around people. There's something great in everyone. And it's our job to help them find it. That's our job. And I love doing it. I love just, you can see their eyes just go, wow, is that possible? Do you really think I can do it? I said, you're thinking way too small. That our life isn't, that, well, listen, we don't really have a problem with water or oil or anything that we're really saying. All that's just not true. The answer is we have oceans. We're one thought away. All the raw materials are here. All the gold, all the silver. We just got to dig.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, go get the book because, you know, I mean, you just reminded me. I remember reading the story about, you know, you went to Dale Carnegie classes and there was a girl that really had no passion at all in her speeches. And you were the one, like, I guess, like impromptu, the professor said, hey, tell a story about one of your pets. And you said she lit up like a light bulb.
Right.
And you called it out in her, Bob, and you said, hey, I think you need to be a veterinarian, you know? So I'm just saying as a leader, you know, be looking for those things. And I'm always like, what brings you joy? And if you're doing something that's not bringing you joy, go figure out what that is. Right.
And a lot of people say they don't have any who, and the answer is you have a community of friends that you've been giving to for years with love and unconditional giving will come to your aid if you ask them. And of course, if you and I are best friends and I ask you for help, would you help me? Yes.
Of course.
Why would you deny me the same joy of helping you? Because you just don't like to ask. And it's been ingrained in us. And I'm just telling you is that I'm just giving you permission. Ask. And so if you go out looking for friends, they're very hard to find. But if you go out to be a friend, holy cow, there's lots of them. Be a friend.
Start a friend. And that, you know, the things that we've been talking about today should motivate all of us to go be a friend to somebody else. You know, because you're going to help that person. Well, one more thing before you talk about something extra, because I've got to talk about this book. Your latest book is Two Chairs. Here's the subtitle to this book. And this should cause everybody to go buy it. The Secret That Changes Everything. The Secret That Changes Everything. You know, and your mom really kind of influenced you a lot, you know, you tell a story about how, you know, you were dealing with something and maybe like, I can't remember if it was what you were going to do with your life, profession wise, whatever.
It was all of it. So, there's so much that we want to do. I have generals, presidents of the United States. I've had every high person who runs studios or head coaches or my dad. But the greatest advice I ever got in my entire life is my mom. And of course, moms are exactly that. Women have, and moms especially, have this sixth sense that has enabled them to think because they're so loving and they're wanting to teach you something. And so I went to her and said, hey, how am I going to do all of this? Trouble, find friends, find my mate, to get my goals, my dreams. She goes, oh, those are good questions. I don't have the answer. But she said, I'm going to ask you three questions. This book is on three questions and seven things to do in a time of trouble. And every one of you are going to get in trouble. So you really want to know the seven. And of course, like as if we haven't had some of that recently, but it's coming back. It's never like enough. But these three things focus you on something that's so amazing. I didn't know that my mom, I didn't understand that this secret was even possible when I first started. And the first thing she said, so do you, and she said, are you ready? These are simple, but they're disruptive. I said, yes, sure, Mom. And she says, do you think God knows your situation? And I said, yeah. And she goes, not only does he know, but he wants you to know he knows. So the highest priority in crisis to get your mind above the highest thought is God. She said, do you think, number two, is this too hard for him to help you? No. And she goes, it's too hard for you though. And she goes, I go, well, that's right. And she goes, do you think he has a good plan for you? And I said, I do. And she goes, what is it? I have no idea, Mom. She goes, exactly. Two chairs. She said, wouldn't this be amazing if there was a 1% chance that you would wake up in the morning first thing and get another chair for you and for God? If there's a 1% that the guy who created the whole world will come to your place and meet you, would you meet? And everybody says yes, even people who don't believe in God. I said, I thought you told me you were an atheist. They said, it's intriguing. I said, fantastic. Here's the game. You set up the chair. You get a minute to tell him everything that you got, all the dump. Oh, you need to dump it down. Anything that you're bugged by, all the things that worried, I'm not going to find my job. I have no finances. I can't do this. I was always treated wrong. I got abused. This happened. Whatever it is, you're laying it out. And then he gets 4 minutes to talk. Now, this is not normal for people because we never let him talk. We hear the enemy speak to us every single day. We're okay with that. But if we hear God talk one time, we're schizophrenic. Right. And so what good would it be to die and go to heaven? And that's the first time you're talking when we need it here. The whole point was here. He said, if you seeked him first, you just talk to him. If you would lean not to your own understanding, just acknowledge him that, hey, he's God. He would direct your path. When I did this, Lisa, in 1977, so I've been doing it now for 46 years, right? I cannot even express how I can tell you that I couldn't express how big this is for each person listening. So I don't have to people say to me, what's he going to say to me? I didn't write three chairs. I don't get to go. You know, you got to go. And so, are you telling me that he's going to talk to me? Yes. Are you telling me he's going to do it? All you have to do is show up. And so what happens is, once you do this, there's a great exchange. While you're doing it, God just said, in the presence of him is fullness of joy. Now, We need some joy. I don't know about you, but our world is just a bummer. And all the people I talk to is just like, we lost 70% of our energy in the pandemic, and we have 15%, we have 15% reserves. Well, this isn't good, because that means if you get one more hit, you're not going to be able to make it. So how could I get my energy level up? I'd go to the energy giver. He's going to fill you. And so he's going to fill you with insight and wisdom and power and favor and joy and peace. And then it's going to, when you leave, your countenance, like as if you sat with Moses, like at a burning bush. I mean, I don't care what people think. I have all these people and they're all saying, oh, I don't think that's really going to happen. But it does. And it really changes. And it's just wild. So
yeah. Oh gosh, we could do a whole podcast on this. I could talk a long time on this, because God does say, call on me and I will answer. Yeah. But sometimes we're too impatient and we don't listen for the answer, right? So 100%. Yeah. But okay, so Bob, maybe we'll do a part two later, but I have to ask you, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
So that's such a great question. I always think the final difference, I see it in an executive search between two candidates. You get two great candidates for a dream job, and it's not always talent, okay, that makes the difference. I mean, yes, qualifications count, facts might favor one person, but it's not always fair in a process. And that's why you need what I'm about to tell you. It's the important decisions are never made on like a scorecard mentality. So what's the difference? I mean, it's always been and it always will be throughout history, and most people miss it. It's the personal qualities that transcend the technical. And so I always talk about it because most people like to think, what's the one thing I can do? Well, there's no such thing as one thing. There's lots of things that we need to do. And so I break it up here into personal qualities in 9 different ways. And I think people need to like let this all in because they have all these qualities. They just have to decide to activate them. And the first one is confidence. And confidence is so fantastic, but it's got to be carried lightly or people will hold it against you. And second is leadership. And the great leaders today who can engender trust rise above the other candidate. And they're talking about that. And then there's a passion about you. There's such energy around you. The passion around you is so contagious. And that's just so fantastic. Number 4 is you got to be funny. You got to have some humor. You got to be light. People got to like you in this process and find humor. And some people can do humor and others can't. But if you can have humor that doesn't you know, carry like derision with it, that you're not making it fun about somebody else, you're winning on somebody else's expense in your humor, people love humor. Number 5 is you have to be a person of integrity. And integrity is not like with guile. I mean, that you just think something that you're making yourself into something. You just talk about it, that it's important to you. 6 is they have great character. And character's about a person, you know, that they always say is you're going to, you know, character's when you're watching and you can see someone and they're not with other people and they're still showing it when no one else is around. Character commits. And so this is such a great piece. 7 is that you have great loyalty. I consider loyalty one of the great things about friendship that's so big. And loyalty is one of those things that you got to hold on. It's just, loyalty holds on. And then 8 is desire. And desire is something that you have desire that dreams. All differential aspects of a final difference in someone is someone who can also dream. And then the last one is, you know, you show interest. You know, it's so interesting. People don't care that you're interesting. They care that you're interested. And so they're very much into that. And that and being interested means that I would come to things and I'd know more about you than you'd know about me. I came prepared. I just care about people. And it's so obvious. And I've looked at all your videos. I looked all your stuff beforehand. And I'm able to talk about it. And I can tell you a great quote you did in 1994. And that's one of the reasons I'm really interested in why this makes a difference. And when you're interested and you show great interest, it increases knowledge. And so these personal qualities, if you'll put those into play, the personal qualities that transcend the technical, I mean, you're going places.
Thank you so much for making the time to be on the show because I know how busy you are. So thank you. But, you know, you are, you know, who first? Who first? And so I appreciate you, you know, making the time to be on the show and letting me be one of your who's.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.